In this world, nightmares lurk. They hide in our neighborhoods, walk our streets, wear our faces, but they are not us. They are the world's best kept secret, and we are gonna find them. Welcome to Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell.
And welcome. This is a Chronicles of Darkness tabletop campaign played in the Hunter the Vigil storyteller system. And when we last left off, two of our party members were trapped in a boba parlor in Los Angeles with a man named Doug Krieger and Singer, who we haven't seen for a while. Meanwhile, on his live feed, you see an image of the old Harper mansion surrounded by unmarked black vehicles and men with guns. And inside of that building is JD.
Hello.
Or rather, outside. You were going home, yeah. I think, when we left.
Yeah, he's in the portal, I think.
Yeah, just came out.
He just came out of the portal. So, outside of the portal, we'll say that it puts you... Where have we dropped people off in the portals before?
I assume it just poops you out into the passenger seat of that particular vehicle.
Yeah, because it's in the...
It's in the glove compartment.
Yeah. So it shoots you out into the passenger seat of the RV.
So I'm just kind of imagining JD crawling out of the glove compartment like into a seat. Like,
it's very much like what we do in The Shadows when the one character goes out of the backpack.
Yeah. It's like your foot gets stuck.
And like 18 years of out-of-date insurance cards just fall out.
How is there even this many?
This one's from 1975.
So you get yourself arranged awkwardly. And outside of the window, you see men in black body armor with a few of them with riot shields, some of them with... tear gas and guns, they're very well equipped, are sort of surrounding the building.
I would like to duck down.
You can do that.
And make myself certainly less obvious. Are they facing away from me?
They're facing away. They're moving in groups, and they're mostly concentrated on investigating this structure and making sure that all the exits are sealed. They seem to be under the impression that there are people inside, which, thankfully, you know there aren't.
There's almost certainly nobody inside.
That's not entirely true.
There's one thing living in there.
Yeah.
Is it people?
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
It's very bad.
For them.
Could be for us.
The world.
I mean, if they let that out, that's not good for anyone.
Well,
it doesn't suck for us. We own it.
I'm gonna make a phone call.
True. Okay.
To Mason.
Okay. So Mason, yeah. You are with the rest of the party going to a concert, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, nice.
Some rockabilly show or something.
Yeah, I imagine probably like a bar concert, like eating some fucking bar food scenario.
Listen to some music.
Yeah, we're in St. Louis, right?
We're currently
in Kansas City.
Okay, Kansas City. Okay.
I was picturing almost like an outdoor venue, like a lot of small towns will have concerts in like a park area every couple weeks or something for the public.
We could be getting barbecue. Kansas City has great barbecue.
Ooh, yeah, let's do that.
They both do.
Are we in St. Louis or Kansas City?
St. Louis.
Oh, I thought you were in Kansas City.
Well, St. Louis has good barbecue.
We are in St. Louis. So.
Yeah, I thought so. We're in St. Louis.
They were in St. Louis.
After having done the...
All right, so same idea, but in St. Louis. So it's a bigger venue than would be in this slightly smaller Kansas City.
Yeah.
But otherwise the same.
I was going to say, because Kansas City is too boring for cool things. Sorry, Kansas City.
Wow, okay.
Well, you're not wrong.
I've been there. It is
Shots
boring.
Shots fired.
Sorry, people who live in Kansas City.
Somebody doesn't like jazz.
They know.
But they probably already hate this show because we've so egregiously misrepresented their town.
Sorry,
By
Kansas.
By making it interesting.
Oh.
Like they're proud of it.
cutting that part. So.
No, you're not.
I'm a fan of the barbecue scene. I apologize on behalf of all of these individuals.
Kansas City has good barbecue.
I brought up
we're
the
not talking
jazz.
About Kansas
anyway.
City. I brought up the jazz.
Well, we were shit-talking anyway. Both of them.
Well, no,
I don't care about St. Louis.
Oh, I care immensely about St. Louis.
I like St. Louis.
You know, it's we're grungy. Only here for an hour and a half, so if you want to keep talking about this, that's fine.
Reasons I like St. Louis number 27.
Regardless of how you use this time.
Anyone who, well, so do I, so am I. Anyone who...
You guys are making money?
Which is nothing.
Okay.
Mason would answer his, notice his phone's ringing, and then very eagerly answer it, and then, or go to answer it, and be like, oh, it's JD. Hello?
Mason.
Yes?
Mason, there's people here.
Where?
Here at the house.
What kind of people?
They're at the suits people.
Grabbing it, Charlie.
What?
They have guns. I don't think they see me.
We'll be back soon.
Mason, do you want chicken fingers?
Stay safe. Come out if go back through the portal if you have
but
to. We'll
I
be there soon.
Don't take the thing. I'm not using the portal.
Don't let them know that it exists. That's the worst thing you could do.
How am I supposed to do that?
Just hide.
What do you think I'm doing?
Yeah, I've got... There's a storage compartment under the carpet in that RV. You might hide there if they start going through it.
Would it fit a whole person?
Barely.
Okay, maybe.
All right, one second.
Abernathy is shouting across the bar. No, kombucha. KOMBU.
Who's with me?
It's just me.
It's everybody
and
but JD and Wolf.
Yeah, Darla.
So it's just Darla and Abernathy. And she's like, well, this is honey barbecue sauce. Do you like that?
Abernathy, Darla, Wolf.
Well, yeah, that's my
out there. Wolf right. is in California.
Right. Yeah. Is that? Yes?
Emergency.
Oh,
we gotta get back right now.
What's going on?
What happened?
There's dudes with suits and guns at our home.
Abernathy's face just goes dead serious.
Wait, is this like... is it those guys? You remember the guys that kidnapped us and put us on the plane?
Well, we need to do something right now because JD's stuck there.
I told you this was gonna happen because you didn't get rid of that goddamn gun.
I did get rid of that goddamn gun.
Yeah, it was until late. Until they knew where we were.
They've been...
I told you!
It's not that simple. And you didn't tell
sir,
me.
Sir, do you want your kombucha?
No, we don't. Actually, we were just leaving.
Cancel that order.
Well, I'm taking these chicken strips.
How are we getting back?
Well, the way we got. We're going to have to go in through the car.
How many yards from... how many yards is the... is the facility from the vehicle, would you say?
Wait a minute, what about JD?
He's stuck in the RV. That's where we'd be coming out. Hold on, let's see if... I'm texting JD. Do you think we could get in the RV without them noticing?
I think I need... I don't know.
I think we need to see what's happened in this time.
Yes.
So... As you've been sitting there, did you opt to try and find this hidden area or stay where you were?
How fast are they approaching the house?
They're taking a measured pace. They're very respectful of the weaponry that could be inside, and they're treating it very similarly to how the police might treat a hostage situation or a bomb threat. You know, they're being very slow and cautious. There's a lot of communication and a lot of people being motioned to different areas. And their attention is, they're congregated in the field area on the backside of the hill between the house and where you have parked. So they're not looking directly at you.
So where's like the, so are they on the outside of like the garage doors as
right.
well?
So the house is kind of on a hill and then on the slope of the hill at the back of the house, it extends and then the garage comes out of the hillside.
Mm-hmm.
So they are congregating around that area.
Okay.
But they are surrounding the whole premises.
They're around the whole thing.
So if anyone was going to spot you, it would be someone actually on the top of the hill rather far away, because they're the people that are on the other side of the house coming towards you.
Yeah.
I would need to know about how long it takes them to get close.
Probably not in the time that they were talking.
Okay.
That time for you is mostly spent crouching in the bucket.
I'm trying to decide if how close they're getting to the thing.
By the end of that period of time where you receive the text message, they are starting to close in on the building. And there is a main sort of squadron of men, five men with shields, with a couple of gunmen behind them, and a tall, dark-haired man in a suit at the back of that formation, and they are sort of readying themselves, preparing to go in.
Okay, would I recognize at all the tall man?
I don't know, would you? Yes, it's Rubidna.
I think he's a... Even despite JD's intelligence, I think he would remember such a figure.
Yeah, it's hard to forget someone like him.
How's he looking?
Well, he is walking with a pair of arm braces. And he does have a little bit of trouble getting around, but he seems to be the hands-on type. It is not stopping him from being personally involved with this raid. Otherwise, because his back is turned, you can't really assess what his sort of condition might be.
In, like, the amount of guys.
Total, there's probably about 30. And in his area, there's 8 backing him up.
Okay. So, is he closer to, like, the garage area?
Yes. He's preparing to go into the garage just as soon as his guys can figure out how the fuck to open it.
How about how many guys are, like, up at the house?
So up at the house is actually the majority of the force. They seem to have underestimated what the garage contains. So they're concentrating most of their men. Probably the other 20 or so are actually on top of the hill.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to wait. I'd wait at least as long as it takes to get the text.
All right. So what does the text say?
You'd say... can we teleport in? Is the RV secure?
And it'd just be like, probably. Like a bunch of letters. And then probably.
All right, we're going back.
All right.
While I'm running to whatever we jumped through on this end, I'm texting Wolf.
Mason, shouldn't we call your dad?
Yes. The house is under attack, and that's all I'm sending him. And then I need to call my father before we hit it, and that's...
The house is under attack text was going to Wolf, right?
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and do your dad call now.
Yeah.
Hello?
Father, you all right?
Yes, son, what's up? I'm just fishing.
The old house, it's being attacked by men in suits and guns.
By who now?
Men in black suits with guns. We're approaching it now. We're going to defend the old house.
All right, I'll make some calls and I'll be there as soon as I can.
Be safe. They might be coming for you too.
Mason, is that Isaac?
Yes.
Can I speak with him?
Yeah.
Is that taking it? I assume by now he's gotten the kind of full story on the Rupitna dealings.
I don't know, we haven't really talked about it.
But you do probably know the circumstances that led the group to work for Isaac.
Mason,
you at least know that.
I don't believe I know about that group too much.
Also, Mason's probably getting a text that says, it's probably spelled like Rupee Tina.
Okay.
Who's Rupee Tina?
Do I know about Rupitna?
Yeah, he was the guy that kidnapped us.
I was not there.
Do I know the name Rupitna?
He wasn't there. You would have.
Well, he was there for the fight.
Definitely been told about Rupitna.
You were not Abernathy yet when that happened.
Yeah, he was still Vic.
So right. You probably don't know about Rupitna.
Do you think he would know about the organization though? I mean, he's been a hunter for a long time.
Right. Would I know about the Chiron group?
That's what I want you to roll right now.
Gotcha. What do I roll?
Oh, gosh. Use your profession, your intelligence, and do you have a cult?
I do.
Then use your occult.
Okay. That's nice.
Should be a pretty decent roll for him.
That's, I got extra. That is 4 successes.
Ooh, 4 successes.
Yeah. So probably just hearing about black suits and Maybe, I don't know. I would say he surmises.
We might be able to fill in details.
You know a couple of people they could be.
Okay.
But black suits is not enough to go on, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Have you encountered these people before?
What do you say?
Rupetina.
Rupetina. Holy shit. That's that guy. Remember the guy that kidnapped us and put us on a plane and then...
Was it the
Chiron? Yeah, Chiron? It was them.
Yeah.
Chiron Group.
Yeah.
Isaac, the Chiron Group they've breached our borders and they have some problem with our current abode.
Well, we lit one of their higher up guys on fire recently.
Apparently they lit one of their leaders on fire. That's a good reason. Why was that?
Well, to be fair, it was his own fire, and it was kind of his fault because he kidnapped us. Listen, it's a long story.
It sounds like it. I would very much like to hear it. Is this about 3 days ago?
Is this taking place while we're like jumping through porta potties?
Yes. So? Yes, it's happening while you are.
Well, how long did
thinking you... with portals?
Did they have a portal close enough to the venue?
It took them a bit to get.
We had to backtrack.
So that's why we're able to have this conversation en route, because it does take them a bit.
Yep. At any rate, Isaac, the Chiron Group appears to have some bad dealings with us.
Well, that's actually excellent news.
What do you mean?
Well, the Chiron Group's a business. They listen to business terms. We can negotiate.
Well, then get on it. I can only sate my bloodlust for so long, Isaac.
I know that too well, my friend.
Government, professional organization showing up on my doorstep with guns doesn't sit well with me, Isaac. Oh, he hung up. Here you are, Mason.
Mason, what about that thing that we have in our basement?
That thing that we currently have possession of?
In our basement.
We will just put it back in the basement if it gets out.
It's not going to be like really bad.
It would be if we didn't have possession over its existence.
I can't in good conscience let them do anything with that.
No, and we shouldn't. But worst case scenario, we just order it back into the box and it has to obey. Because JD earned us its existence, its name, its identity as a being in reality.
That is one dog I don't like having on the other end of my chain.
No, we shouldn't. We should put it back in the box as soon as we have to, and it shouldn't ever leave the box until we can put it down.
So right about then, JD, are you still in the seat?
I'm not like in the seat. I'd probably be crouched down in like the part of the van to best look at them.
Okay.
I do have another question though. Yeah. Are there any other vehicles in the area?
Cat bus?
The cat bus is inside. Yeah, it's parked by the computer, so it's Merlin. Not outside.
Merlin's on a keyboard. He's fine.
Our only vehicles were Charlie's RV, my RV, and the cat bus. So Charlie's not around, therefore.
So anyway, I'm going to say, just to minimize your potential exposure, you're mostly just sitting very low in that driver's seat, kind of on the floor, so that you can see out the windows without exposing.
Yeah, so he's just there hyperventilating.
Yeah. So you're treated to a lap full of whoever goes through the portal first.
Probably Mason. I'm going to assume it's Mason.
It's probably Mason. So, Mason, you pop out of the glove compartment and end up sort of holding yourself on the seat above a very freaked out looking JD.
Hello! Get down!
Well, I've read this.
And I just get out of the seat.
So you end up having to kind tumble of out army of crawl seat. Over the middle, yeah. Like, sort of console and into the back of the van while JD just has to, like, kind of squish and stay out of the way.
Abernathy's
fortunately,
next.
There might be a gap there since it's an RV.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big space because it is an RV, yeah. But it's still a little awkward. Yeah. So Abernathy comes through next.
And then Darla.
And then Darla.
I'm sure it's a tighter squeeze for Abernathy.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of Tim Allen the Santa Claus.
Let's go with that allegory.
Right. Okay, so what have they been doing since?
JD turned into Smeagol while we were gone.
Sorry, stage whisper. What have they done since?
In the time it took us to get here, anything? They've just been closing in on the house?
They've just been walking there.
This isn't stage whispering. This is regular whispering.
They've just been walking there.
Okay.
Menacingly.
Father's closing in, and he wants to make a deal. We can't trust them to make a deal.
But there's a thing in there.
Yeah. And if it gets out...
Mason, is there any kind of like, you know, when you watch TV and then they're like a... The base gets threatened. Is there any kind of like lockdown thing where they put all the shutters?
Yeah.
Down the way.
The lockdown procedure that Father employed.
Do you have like, can you do that remotely?
No, we would have to be outside.
That's directly dumb. Outside. Why would you ever set it up that way?
It's a very old building. They didn't have wireless connectivity then.
All right.
What's the password?
He's real fast.
It's gumdrop.
Gumdrop.
It's gumdrop for both. Well, gumdrop to get in and out.
Yeah, it's the lockdown and unlocking password.
Is it like a lockdown button?
No, it's a little pad, but we can...
Yeah, I know, but...
If
I go to do the lockdown and I just hit gumdrop, will it just open up?
Yeah. If it was locked down.
Oh, okay.
So, it's like a toggle.
So... We can't. We're going to need to secure part of this or sneak into a position.
Which side of the doors is the keypad on the outside? Is it on the right side or the left side?
While they're
right.
talking it out, I think Darla's going to keep looking out the window.
So while they're talking it out, Darla, you see Rupitna break away from the waiting group, the sort of entry team. And pull out a phone and put it up to his ear and talk. And in the boba parlor, Vic and Wolf, you see Doug Krieger's phone go off. Yes.
So when we left them off, Wolf had basically used a contract that let him insert a new desire into Mr. Krieger's head.
That's correct.
And that desire is to make sure Wolf is as happy as possible.
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Krieger, feel free to take that if you'd like.
Take, what, the boba or the phone?
Oh, no, the phone.
The call. The call. Yeah. Okay. Oh, thank you. Yes, that would be very bad to not answer my associate.
I forgot about the accent.
Oh, evil and Midwestern.
Affably evil.
Affably Wisconsin.
Affably evil.
So he raises it to his ear and he says, Krieger here. And you all are not privy to the Rupitna side of the discussion. But what you notice, Darla, since you are looking, is that as he's talking on the phone, he does what many of us do and paces slightly. Granted, it's a little awkward for him with one arm, but he does sort of turn around and look around at the scenery. And then you see his eyes catch on you. And for a moment, he just stands there quietly and observes. Almost like he's trying to ascertain how many of you are in there, given that he can't really see anyone except for you.
Guys?
Yeah.
I think we have a problem.
God fucking damn it.
Obviously.
Abernathy pulls out his pistol and slowly cocks it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're still in the negotiating phase, but if you'll just count to 10 real quick, I will let you know if you have permission to enter.
All right, we need to get out the back of the van. This isn't going to be safe real quick.
We're back in the boba for now. Steven, you're up.
Oh, absolutely not.
Permission to enter? Hell no. I don't know what you're entering. No, don't. Yeah, don't let him.
Vic. Wolf puts a hand on his. One sec. Permission to enter what exactly?
Oh, what was the name? The Harper Estate, yes.
Oh.
Bit dingy.
Gonna have to say no. Gonna have to say no. Like you said, it's dingy. It's a mess. We haven't had any time to clean. We haven't even had time to decorate. The only beverages we have are some Diet Pepsi that's gone flat and some chocolate milk I got.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, well, I would really not like to make you uncomfortable, sir.
You don't have to be sarcastic.
Vic?
Yes, we need to call it off, please. This is awkward. It seems our hosts aren't quite ready for us to enter their facility. And back on the harbor property, you see Rapitna's brows sort of fall into a flat line. And his eyes narrow as if he's confused by what he's just heard on the phone. He nods his agreement and hits end call, tucks his phone away, and he continues looking at you, Darla, for an uncomfortable amount of time. And then he seems to come to a decision, which I'm about to roll.
As you're doing that, Abernathy is gonna like he's like on his back on the floor, just like holding his gun to his chest, and he looks over at Mason. He says, "Mason, do you still have that seafall?"
"Only a little bit."
"Just enough of a distraction would be wonderful." "All
right. Well, I was getting a gun anyways. Flip open a little side panel. Grab a handgun and single brick of C4.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I think Darla, she's like maybe too afraid to move. She isn't sure if Rapitna has actually seen her or if he's just looking in their direction. She's sort of like motions with her hand.
"Get down.
I don't want to move in case he sees the movement."
"I promise he's seen you, and somebody else with a gun is going to see you real soon."
"All right. Down.
Who's seen her?"
"I don't know."
Darla's going to very slowly sit down and be like, "Give me a gun."
"What was he doing?"
"Looking at me."
"He was looking at you?"
"Yes."
"Who's he?
Who do you think, genius?"
"Ruby. Rupi Tina?"
"Rupi Tina." "That's not how you say it. Never mind."
"Yes."
"Okay, so what do you guys say this guy could do?"
"What can he do? I mean, last time he had a bunch of stuff on him, like
demon friend."
"Yeah, like a ring that summoned a demon, but we melted that down. And then, he had that sword, but I don't think he has that anymore either. And, well, no. No, Vic was the one with the sword. He had the gun."
"Mm.
But we obviously got rid of that."
"He had a sword, too."
"Did he have a sword? Yeah, he had a rapier, but then you melted that down. Hey, you melted down all the other stuff, but not the gun. This is your fault, Mason."
"Just for up, we don't need to point fingers right now. We need to survive. Mason, how long do we have until Isaac gets here?"
"Houses, maybe. He could be here as soon as 8 minutes if he gets help. If he doesn't, he could be here."
"Well, what's he doing right now?"
"Why are we still sitting here? If he's seen us, we should just drive away."
"That's why we're getting out of the back of the
van." "Yeah, what has he been doing this whole time? He's been talking and talking and talking. It couldn't be that he was surrounding your vehicle."
"Would we have heard this?"
"You'll hear it now." Darla would have seen it, but she ducked down right as I was about to announce it.
"Well, it's not exactly my choice."
I open the back door, and I slink out.
Well, when you open the back door, you're met with a line of riot shields and three guns all clicking as they're cocked, with Rapitna standing. He looks rough. He looks like Deadpool. Like, he has burns over his entire body. And you can see, now that he is closer, that the head of dark hair, which is really very convincing, is actually a wig. And he has a very cold, dead look in his eye as he observes you all cowering in this RV.
Abernathy is cowering. Straight.
Well, other than Abernathy and anyone else who wants to be a big damn hero.
You know I do.
Can JD slink to the driver's seat?
Absolutely, he can.
Darla wants to look in the pocket of the door where Mason pulled his gun from and see if there's another gun in there.
I don't think we put any other guns in there.
I mean, I would have stocked up the van with stuff, but, I mean...
Is there any kind of other, and maybe even an improvised weapon?
I had a rifle somewhere. I don't remember where I put it.
I had a gun, and then I had miscellaneous useful tools, like a few bricks of C4 and wire and, you know, stuff like that. But I don't.
All right, so there is a rifle in that van, but it is definitely not in the...
I don't remember where I put it.
...bin. So it's...
I put it somewhere.
I will just say for posterity that it is in the storage compartment under the carpet.
Fuck. Is that easy to get to? Do I have to lift up the whole carpet with everybody on it?
Yeah, you'd have to.
So we have Mason facing a line of riot shields and guns.
Yeah.
Right. What now?
Oh. Guess.
You know why I'm here.
Do I?
Well, I would hope so, since you struck me as a not unintelligent type. I admit, you stalled me for some time, but need I remind you that I do not represent my own interests. I am a man of business.
Oh, okay. Well, then,
and there are many behind me and many above me.
They're going to be terribly disappointed when you wasted all of their times. What exactly were you looking for?
Ishma's eye.
Oh, it's very unfortunate. I would be carrying it on me, but I seem to have misplaced it. Oh, except for this little bit. A little red canister of I'm not sure what. You can have that if you'd like. No? I'll just hang on to it then.
All right, then. We'll play hardball. He raises his hand to a walkie that's clipped to his lapel pocket and raises it, and he says, blow the doors. And with a crashing boom that hits the van with a sort of concussive force, you hear a detonation, and one of the garage doors is blown off of its tracks.
Can I make the case for something?
Yes.
JD normally drives. JD would definitely put the keys on the visor.
Oh, absolutely. Any shared vehicle like this,
yeah.
That's where keys go. So, do you want to drive?
Yeah, he's going to grab them. He's going to very slowly and as quietly as possible put them in there. And then he's going to crank it and go.
As soon as he does, Abernathy is going to try and leap to his feet and pull Mason into the truck so that he doesn't just fly out the
yeah,
back.
Yeah, can Darla grab Abernathy's like legs so he doesn't fly out the
yeah,
back?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool.
What are you doing?
I'm not even going to make you roll for it. That's so damn cool.
Okay. if I wanted to hop backwards to the van, would I need to make some kind of like awareness
check? I'm not thinking that you even left the van because they're kind of crowding at the gate. So well, I feel I like you've just been standing right at the edge
okay.
of the doors.
Okay. All right.
Or at least that's what happened, whether you said it or not, because that's what
it's
I imagined,
convenient.
And I'm the DM.
All right.
Crash with the doors open kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just so cinematic, him, like, standing all tall in his RV looking down at Rapitna and the guards, you know? All
right.
Especially all right. for his, like, you know, power move.
Yeah. I need all the height I can get. All right.
I assume the door is still open.
So yeah. The door is still open, but you're all inside.
All right.
JD, where are you taking us?
Well, I would, on the way in, be like, what's the key for the room with the thing?
Well, it's now open, so.
But it's like a safe.
Yeah, the safe.
Oh, the safe at the back of the, okay.
Yeah, that has the cooler in it with the Fae.
So before we get to that discussion, how about you, JD, I realized our listeners don't see me pointing. roll me a drive check to see if you can avoid the people standing in front of the now destroyed garage door.
Oh, please.
Do you want to avoid it?
I'm avoiding them.
Do you not want to
try
avoid
them? Try honking your horn or something?
Yeah,
that probably implies honk.
Okay.
I'd probably honk and try not hit them. Now... I have to say it before I do anything. Could I potentially kind of wedge
drift
the thing?
Oh, man.
Yeah,
like wedge it in like that from whichever way's open?
With your drive check, you absolutely can try.
This is a total stunt driver move.
I wanted to say it beforehand.
And you can use your professional training.
Oh, shit.
Oh, and you all God. Thought it wouldn't come up again.
No.
So cool.
It's exactly what he would do.
Love it.
See, Darla, your TV skills do apply.
Put some willpower in that motherfucker.
Ah, nah.
What do you mean?
As I'm getting dragged off, I'm definitely giving Rupitna a shrug.
Okay, so, I can totally
do that. Okay, yeah.
It
was too late to put
like
it in anyways.
Like a
wide
arm gesture.
Yeah.
While they're holding you around the around the shoulders.
Three
is exactly what you needed.
Oh!
That thing's going to stop on a dime, though. We are
so
going to hit the wall.
You hit the horn, and I don't think anyone's used the horn on this
before.
The vanity horn plays... what's the song?
La Cucaracha?
No.
It plays what... Actually, La Cucaracha is pretty good. I was going to say it plays what the ice cream trucks always play.
Oh, God.
I was going to say all the saints come marching in.
I was going to put in a vote for the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Oh, that's pretty good.
You know, I'm thinking about it. Final answer is La Cucaracha. Because that gets abbreviated better.
Yeah.
And La Cucaracha plays as armored men duck and weave and jump to get out of your way. A couple of thunks signal that you did in fact hit a couple of riot shields that were dropped.
Fuck.
And you just drift right in and perfectly wedge that van, and it just so happens to be the exact width of that garage
door. Ouch, 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 and JD's like throwing himself out the
dive inside.
Regardless if it has a door or not, he's crawling out the window.
The RV is an RV, so it has a side door.
Yeah,
right.
And by great fortune, it just happens to be inside the building, not out.
Yeah. I sure hope that was intentional, JD.
Mostly.
Okay, I'm slamming the back door shut, locking the car after we get out, and hustling inside to get at our equipment, namely my belt of C4 that's in my room.
Yeah, Abernathy's going for that shotgun.
Darla is going to go... Wait. Darla is going to turn to Mason and go, what's the password for the vault?
Well, we don't want to go in there.
Well, we need to make sure that they don't get to it, too. We need to take it with us.
They're going to explode and open.
If they take that shit, then we're fucked.
As JD's strapping on his stuff.
What's the date?
It's going to take them longer to get it open than it is for Isaac to get here. We don't need to worry about it. We need to only arm up.
No.
Okay. Darla is gonna go to her room then and grab her breath.
There's way too many people here.
Yeah.
There's like another 20 upstairs.
JD, run to the door and hit gumdrop. Darla, get us equipment. Get your gun. I'm gonna get explosives. Get back here quick.
All right.
We're going to war!
You all do that. And while you're doing that, we're going to pop back to the... I am so blanking.
Boba
parlor. For some reason, my brain was like the hobo parlor.
I mean, kind of.
Yes.
Is that a live feed? What they're seeing?
It was a live feed. Now it doesn't... Okay, so while he was on the phone, it didn't show. Now that he's off the phone, it is showing again. So he's watching with wide eyes on his phone as all of this happens. And he goes, oh, well, that's unexpected.
Mr. Krieger.
Oh, yes, sir.
I told you I didn't want them to go into the house.
Well, I told him. I meant it. I really did. You heard me say it.
If you are in charge... Sorry, I forgot to do Wolf's voice. I'm very sick today. If you are in charge, call your men off.
Oh, I tried, sir, but he didn't listen.
Then try harder.
Okay, I just hope you realize that I am only a middle manager, and there's not so much I can do from this... I'm calling him.
Vic is watching this, and he looks over at Wolf, and he just kind of like leans over. He's like, "What is going on right now? Did you grow a walrus dick in like the last 20 seconds? What happened?"
Wolf's gonna lean over to Vic and just say, "I'll explain everything later."
I fucking hope so, Jesus.
Sip.
So, the Verpitna does not answer the phone. But while you're all sort of waiting, perched on the edge of this tenuous, tense interchange, Singer comes out from behind the counter, and with her hands sort of clasped behind her back, she, like, leans in to Wolf, and she says, "So, while he's like this, can I get salary?"
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Probably.
With dental?
You care about dental? Fine, yeah, dental, sure.
Do you see my teeth?
Yeah, they're lovely.
Exactly!
You have a little crowding on number 23. But otherwise, it's crowded.
Bitch. Oh my god, I like that he knows
it,
what to do.
Is it weird that this is the moment for me that Vic's back?
Yeah.
Back.
That's Vic back at it again. So, back in the scene.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Mason's dad's loaded as fuck, but,
No, I mean from him.
Oh. Krieger.
Oh, yes, sir.
Am I to understand you're not giving your employees dental?
Oh, well, not for our, hourly employees. It's, I mean, we use...
In your line of work, is there really such a thing as an hourly employee? Let's be real. We both know you say contract employee in order to avoid the taxes. I feel like it's only fair if some of them get, you know, dental.
Oh, yes, we used to have very good dental coverage, but then we reorganized. And I'll be honest with you, I felt like I really saw a dip in the quality of my coverage.
Well then. It'd be a shame for you not to go after that. And Wolf's gonna look over at her and just go and just kind of shrug and throw his arm, not just throw his arms up or anything, just be like, what exactly am I accomplishing with this? We kind of have more important fish to fry. Not said out loud, obviously.
Yeah. And at that, Singer just sort of rolls her eyes and sort of mumbles, "Well, it was worth a shot," and walks away.
Anyway, where were we?
So you all reconvene back at the center of the compound. You can hear the sort of calling of the servicemen outside. And upstairs you hear the distinctive rhythmic bangs of a police battering ram. Not an old-fashioned one, but like a... They're really just cylinders of solid metal with handles that men swing into the doors. So you can hear that, like a very loud crashing boom. Yes?
I'd like to take up a position in the room behind something where I can see the gigantic former garage door and the ladder.
Not possible, because okay. The ladder is down the hall, past all the rooms, up the stairs, in the living room. So you can't possibly have a line of sight of all of that between the elevation and the doorway blocking your angle.
We're gonna have to split up, Abernathy. I'll get the ladder if you'll get this.
Wait Blow a the minute. Ladder.
We need to get the thing. Get out of here.
However, since you are trying to defend your vault, that is a bottleneck. It is under the stairs that go into the living areas, and there's only like one door on either side of the stairs into that lower area where the vault is.
Okay. Blow the ladder. We're trying to buy time here. That's one less way for them to get in. Blow the ladder. I can repair it.
Toss me the single brick.
So, and here you go.
Okay. If we get overwhelmed, we're going down into the basement.
We should just go down in the basement and set up. Well,
we can take what we can get here. It's easier to defend this place than it is that place.
No, it's easier. That's the opposite.
And we're buying time for my dad. We can't get out of here. We're just going to operate with that. Get in defensive positions. If they flood us, cover each other, and we're going to get down in the dungeon. I'm going to go rig the ladder. I'm going to sprint down the hallway and rig the ladder.
JD's going to find cutlery in the kitchen that he can throw.
I'm tossing Abernathy the detonator switch for the C4 I threw under the RV.
Oh, okay. Hold on, what does this one go to?
that mess of C4 under the RV.
This open area we're in, is it?
So this is the
living
big,
room, garage
the
area?
The big living room that includes the gymnasium?
The obstacle course. And the computer, and yeah, everything.
And I'm running down the hallway that has all of our rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then past that's a...
The ladder.
The living room kitchenette with the ladder.
With the ladder. And so I'm going to break the ladder so that they can't come down without falling.
I think Darla is just going to set up with one of the guns, using the couch as a shield. I don't know. I feel like it would be more defensible if we went into the basement, just because there is that bottleneck.
Well, the problem with the basement is it's iron bars. There's nothing to hide behind.
But, I mean...
It is bottlenecked, but once they get there with the riot shields, they will just walk at us until they can shoot us. We have nothing to hide behind.
Okay, whatever.
All right. And now we tower defend. I definitely didn't plan it this way. It's so refreshing. We actually got to the conclusion I expected.
There's no cell coverage down here, is there?
Yes, there is.
We've made calls.
We've used our phones down here.
Okay, Abernathy's gonna procure his weapon, get it to an advantageous point, and then just first chance he gets, he wants to just ask me some how far out is Isaac?
I don't know.
Call him.
You call him. You know his number.
I don't have a phone. Give me your phone.
Thank you. Since I'm throwing stuff at Abernathy.
That's why JD didn't call Abernathy.
If I had a penny for every time we've had that exact same conversation.
It would be the middle square in our bingo board.
It's so frustrating.
Abernathy has no phone.
We spent so much time breaking phones to not get traced, and we ended up getting traced anyways.
Well, when you put it that way, it makes me sound paranoid.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm pretty sure you broke your phone last episode.
We have spares.
He broke a phone.
There are other burners.
All right, but I'm going to start keeping track.
I think he specifically said it was a burner.
Well, okay.
JD's had the same phone the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, so he's said that a couple times, so I need to make sure I'm keeping him honest about the burner
phones. Well, we're going to need like a tracker or something.
Yeah.
Just like
for
a
YouTube,
phone
definitely.
Bar.
No.
You should have a phone bar on your character sheet.
For the phone murderers in the room.
I gave it away, yeah.
Okay, so with a phone in hand, Abernathy is going to dial up Isaac's number.
Okay. It goes to a special dial tone that says, "We are sorry, the number you're trying to reach is currently operating a motor vehicle. This is a safety app to ensure that drivers do not drive."
Goddamn motherfucking nanny state smash.
No, not our.
Garrett, please take a willpower to play your fucking character.
I'm full.
I don't get those.
Oh my god.
I don't get those. God damn it. I'm just gonna start breaking phones for willpower, since that's how this works.
I just had a vision of Abernathy out in the field, going with a shotgun, going, pull, and then just three phones go flying.
Okay, well, that's one less phone.
Oh, God.
But you know that Isaac is on his way.
Okay.
So, Max, he's 15 minutes away.
Well, he's on it. Well, we do know he's on his way.
You say with the wreckage of Mason's phone
dangling
from your hand.
Anyway, we're in this for the long haul.
I kind of imagine the Harper family has a Scrooge McDuck style vault where they have just a bunch of phones.
Jesus. You can't swim in phones.
You can. If you could swim in money, you could swim in phones.
Swim in gold coins, sure. Phones.
And Mason,
I think we broke John.
Yeah, he has not taken his hands away from.
And
his
eyes. Once a month, Mason just gets a snow shovel and shovels a bunch of the phones in a bag.
Aren't you glad you wrote down Amelia's number?
I did. And I'm going to remove it if I get captured.
Well, it's not like you have other people to call.
Shit. No, they're all dead or busy.
Yeah. No, you got the right idea.
Grim.
Holy shit. Well, so Darla is set up on the couch with her gun like pointed towards the door that Mason left through.
Yes, Mason.
Does it sound like they've reached the secret compartment up? I don't know how they found the secret compartment up at the top of the ladder, but...
Yeah, that's true.
You hear footsteps overhead, but they don't appear to have gotten any closer.
Oh. Well, then I'd like to climb a ways up and strap or wedge the C4 to an important part of the structure and not use it until I have to.
Okay.
And then go back to defending other people.
We might just light this motherfucker up. Okay. Yeah, for now they don't notice. And in fact, I'm going to give you 10 turns till they do notice.
Are we just going to be like going around in a circle or?
But that's my turn, I assume.
Well, we're gonna try and play this civilized, like, because the first man in the door is Rupitna behind a riot shield.
How
is he within view of us?
No, he's...
So somebody's helping him.
Yes.
Do you mean first man through the first line of defense to the ladder?
Not the ladder.
No, no.
Through the garage.
For now, the only incoming traffic is going to be on your end.
Okay. So, he comes through with a sort of shielded agent.
Coming through the bus.
Through the bus in front of him. And in fact, he stays in the doorway of the bus behind the shield. And he simply calls, "I would like to do this as men. I don't think this needs to resort to violence. I simply came prepared."
Nobody's home!
Abernathy is going to, like, not poking his head out, just bellow out. This is you infringing on the territory of a Null Mysteris subsidiary. What you're doing would be war between two different factions, and I don't think anybody would care for that.
You know, that's a very cunning thing to say, Abernathy. Ooh.
I know what I'm doing.
Abernathy's on fire this episode.
He is.
That's why I let him break my phone.
I'm not going to roll this. I actually need to think about that.
That was
it's true.
Fucking smart.
Yeah, that's real good.
Yeah, man.
Abernathy, he's like the guy who always has the union handbook on hand.
The gnome, forget this. He reaches behind him and comes back with a megaphone. The Null Mysteris agreement is the reason I am here. You all released property rightfully belonging to our organization, which was shared by Null Mysteris, and your keeping of that property was not part of the negotiation between us and that organization. Were you legally entitled to those objects, then we would not be here.
Listen to this, idiot.
And Gregory legality. Molina would still be alive.
What does that mean?
Who?
Who's Gregory Molina?
Some incompetent agent.
The owner, the rightful owner of Ashma's Eye. I come here so I can close his file in our company and reclaim the equipment which was loaned to him.
From what I understand, it is no longer in our possession. Beyond that, one, legality? You think that anything we're doing here is legal?
You think two, anything we're doing here would make it to a court of law?
Exactly.
Well, then I think it's pretty moot when you kidnapped us. So, you can just get happy in the pants you got mad in.
We have a negotiator on the way. It would be very amiable of you to wait until they have arrived.
Then I will wait. My curiosity is what it is in here that you found so valuable as to trap yourselves inside.
That's for us to know and for you to never find out, Mr. Rupitina.
Rupitna.
Abernathy doesn't know that.
Oh my god.
So, with that, you enter a grudging stalemate until Isaac arrives. Which you all don't actually know when that is, but... Wolf and Vic do, because they are privy to the overhead image on Krieger's phone.
Quick question. What time of day is it?
It's mid-afternoon.
Okay.
Oh, good. The negotiator's here. That's a relief because, Rapitna. I always knew he was a wild card, but I never thought he'd defy orders like this.
Are you sure you can keep someone like him around?
Oh, our organization is powered by people like him. Ambition really greases one's moral compunctions, if you know what I mean.
That's fair.
I myself have sort of burnt out on the whole promotion game. I'm quite happy with my middle management position, but it is hard to keep off young whippersnappers like him. I really thought I could trust him, I have to tell you. After his last promotion, his wife was very happy with him.
Oh, he has a wife.
Oh, yes, he has a wife, 6 kids. They're very happy. At least I thought so. Well, I guess that is a lot of college payments.
I guess so.
Or does something demons fall into all this?
Hey, could you be a pal? Don't suppose you got access to his file, do you?
Oh, absolutely. I hired him. He happily searches through his email until he finds the hiring packet from Rapitna, which was circa 2002. He looks very different in the photo, much younger, much less polished, and much cheaper clothes. And he slides it across the table.
Wolf looks over to Vic, and he looks really sad, and he just says, please don't hate me for what I'm about to do.
What's going to happen?
So, in that file, is there an emergency contact?
Yes, there is.
Does Wolf's cell phone work?
Yeah, his cell phone works.
Great.
This is kind of out of context, but John actually, before this game, gave me a bell that you, like, ring for service at, like, hotel lobbies. It says, ring for big dick. I just feel like this has got to be the most opportune time.
Ring away, my friend.
By all means, for Wolf.
There we go.
Anticlimactic clunk.
What an appropriate first use. Honestly.
And who would have thought it was Wolf?
Yeah. So,
I would have thought that.
You place your call to Rapitna's emergency contact.
Actually, I'm not calling his emergency contact.
Oh?
I'm calling Rapitna.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh.
Rapitna, for the sake of the narrative, answers this time.
He was just waiting, wasn't he?
Yeah, he is waiting this time. He's less active than he was before, so that makes sense.
4290 Willow Tree Lane.
Who is this?
I think you know.
I'm not a mind reader.
Could have fooled me. Put the guns down, step away, and calm your fucking tits. Because I have your file, asshole. And I'm everything you're scared of. I know what you're scared of. And Wolf hangs up.
Well, that was rude.
Should I make a roll?
Let's make a roll just to see if he's really intimidated.
All right.
It's a good play, but he's kind of a wild card, so.
I gathered. All right, I am definitely burning willpower on this one.
Affecting the heart of a man without one.
We, potentially burned it out of him a while back.
Yeah, let's see.
Well, Singer whipped it out of him.
All right, well, when you say it like that.
Well, now you just, now you just made it filthy. All right, we are looking. Holy shit.
What do we got?
This is going to be good.
6 successes.
Ooh.
That'll do it. That's an exceptional, sir.
I'm sorry. Holy shit.
I forgot why I stopped using the Onyx Path app. I rolled really well with it all the time.
I don't see that as a problem. So.
If anything, it's a plus, which is why you should use it.
So, Rapina plays it off, but he is, in fact, quite afraid. And I'm going to reflect that in his negotiations with Mason's father, who's just pulling up on Krieger's footage. So when he enters this investigation, he will be more suggestible than he would be otherwise, because he wants a resolution to this conflict, which is in favor of Wolf. So, yes.
Was that worthy of the big dick bell?
I already gave you one.
No, I'm just asking if you guys think it was.
Well, yeah, I think it was. Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, it was scary. Exceptional, and it was scary.
You are he for whom the big dick bell
tolls. More like trills, but yes.
Yeah.
That's not that's for not whom the big dick bell
tolls. It's a small bell.
The bell dings.
It dings for thee.
Listen, I'm only going with what the saying is.
So, Mason's father walks up. Fuck me, I gotta play two characters now. So, he walks up. Now, what is going on here? What is the meaning of this? Well, we are in the middle of a negotiation, and I will say that property damage was not our first resort. We've, in fact, been looking for these fugitives you are housing for some time. That fugitive you're talking about is my son and his team. Let's sit down if civil is what you're aiming for. Very well. But you'll have to ask your son and his team to disarm themselves if you expect us to go in there. That's a risk I'm willing to take. So Mason's father steps through the door, sort of pushing the shield aside, and walks in with his hands in his suit pockets.
If I may ask, how did they get through to the door of the bus?
Through the back door of the van, of the RV.
Oh, okay.
If he wedged it completely in the garage and the door was open when it happened, then there's no way it actually could have closed.
Okay. Okay, then.
Or they could have broken the lock. It's an RV door.
We didn't say that, though.
I mean, he did say it closed, but logically it just doesn't make sense.
Okay. So. Just wondering. I was thinking that they, like Looney Tunes sawed a side out of it.
I don't.
You could also just break the lock from the front of the RV, you know, the doors.
They got it. Yeah. We've established that. Sure. They got it. So, Isaac walks through the door and with his hands in his suit pockets, and he goes, Mason?
Father?
You want to come in and do what we talked about, you know? Negotiate?
Yep.
So do you all? This is ultimately your decision, whether you want to comply with this or not.
Is this like negotiate? He winks a lot, and then just looking at Mason.
I know, and I wink back at JD.
Wait.
I don't think he understands what you were trying.
What does that mean? What does it mean?
No.
Abernathy reading the situation just would say, if they wanted to put us in any danger, then Isaac would be a bargaining chip by now.
I'm just going to make very pointed eye contact with Abernathy and the switch that's in his hands, and then I'm going to go back to walking over to my father.
JD's going to slowly put all the cutlery he has back onto the counter.
he dangles some out of his shirt.
It's a lot. It was a whole knife block.
That's some good throwing.
I think Darla is going to put her gun sort of in that way you're not supposed to if you know anything about firearms, but sort of like, you know,
through the one of her belt loops or something. I don't know.
I thought she was going to put it in her cleavage.
Yeah, you can put a gun in her cleavage.
And maybe in the back of your pants.
Yeah, back.
Commonplace.
Yeah, so. Pants pocket.
It doesn't really fit through belt loops.
I don't know anything about guns.
So, you all approach and...
Abernathy is going to be very tentative about the whole disarming thing.
Mm-hmm. It's not really his protocol.
It's not his M.O.
Yeah.
Well, do you think you're uneasy? Everyone's pretty uneasy. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Darla doesn't want to put away her gun.
How about we send
then,
Mason?
Then Mason's just giving you all a white hand. Just wait.
You can pick up your throwing knives, JD.
Cling. Cling.
I think Darla is gonna keep an eye on the back staircase. Or the ladders, just in case they decide to sneak around back, maybe.
So is Rapitna and his forces inside the RV or on the other side of it now?
So Rapitna and one guy are inside the RV. The rest of the men are still outside.
Okay. Do they have clear line of sight of me?
They don't. They're behind the RV.
Okay.
But Rapitna and the guy do.
I'm going to make, again, very pointed eye contact with my father. And then look down at the C4, and then walk into the RV and sit down.
Okay, so okay. His father goes back with you.
Okay.
Your father goes back with you. Yes. Mason, and he hugs you very briefly, pats you on the back, and then sits down. Motions for Rapitna to join them.
Before he can actually sit down, I think I'd actually... of my father. Sorry. Now, what do you want? Really?
Here's what I need. I cannot leave here without one relic of significant power to show for this tragic waste of time and resources. At this point, failure is not an option because we have not managed through multiple expensive endeavors to reclaim the property which was owed to us by Nol Mysterious, by your allies.
All right. Well, I informed you that I don't know where that particular piece of property is at this moment, so...
And I happen to know that you're lying.
Do you?
I do. And at this... you get a flash of his last and final relic. Because, Mason, with your unseen sense, you get a very sharp taste of demon. And you see his left eye flicker gold for a moment.
That's great for you. But inform me exactly why a federal agent is... demanding.
I'm not a federal agent. I work for a private corporation.
Oh, even better then. How do you exactly have claim over our personal property or business?
I'm so glad you asked. He pulls his phone out. It's a very large screened phone. And he produces a docket, I guess, of documents. And he shows them to you. And Mason, it just so happens you recognize them very well because you're the one that carried them out of the facility, out of the research facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not sure if you actually ever read them.
I did.
I think you did.
I did. I read them.
So you are actually very familiar with these documents. And they did actually say that the subjects for study in this research facility were provided by the Chiron Group. And any discoveries therein were licensed to be used to produce medicine mm-hmm. by the Chiron Group
mm-hmm.
in exchange for the research and work hours done by Nol Mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually know that, according to the agreement between Chiron Group and the Nol Mysterious, that what he's saying is completely factual.
Oh, all right. So you are entitled to the spoils of that research endeavor. That's excellent. I wish you all the best in reclaiming those resources.
and the property of the agents who were dispatched to oversee the operation.
Was that in the details?
Yes. Oh. And he shows you the document.
All right. Well, I was asking you. All right. We're not even official members of this Nolmas Jairus, are we, Father?
Son, what did you do with whatever it is they're looking for? What is it, by the way? Aishma's eye.
It's a part of a god that they stole pieces of and then augmented it into weaponry, armor, utility devices. So yes. Really, it's not even their property.
And who else has done that, Mason? Your father gives you a meaningful look. And you see a flash of recognition in his eyes at the name Aishma. He takes on a much more sincere and almost worried countenance, and he looks directly at Rupitna. Well, my sincere apologies to the agent who fell using that weapon. And he looks over to Mason and he says, Mason, where have you put it? A moment. He picks you, or he stands up and he puts his arm on your elbow and pulls as if to step away.
All right.
And once you're away, he angles himself so that his back is to Rupitna and speaks in a very low voice. Now you best tell me what's been going on with you and this Aishma weapon.
This thing is a tool that could help us kill Anticipation.
This thing is a god, and it's not to be messed with. It's one thing to dig up kneecaps and make them into amulets. This is well beyond what any of us should be messing with.
Well, good, then we should give it to the Shadow Organization that's been hunting us.
Well, they would stop hunting you if you gave them what they were looking
would
for.
Would they, exactly?
Yes, they would. That's how these things work. This is soundly in their jurisdiction, and due to our allies, whether you want to acknowledge that or not, we are overstepping. No. By keeping it, you will have Nolmas Jairus hunting us down too, because you can bet that a different team is asking for the same thing and their grounds on the off chance that we don't actually have it.
Father, I don't... This isn't a contract we entered into, personally. So this is actually strong-arm tactics. They're trying to force us to do something for them that we're not obligated to do.
They're not trying to force you to do anything. They're trying to prevent a much bigger conflict. I don't think you understand, son, just how far this goes.
This thing doesn't need to be available to them. Or us. That's why it's hidden.
Well, then on that, every person in this building dies, son. They will wipe us off the face of the earth if we do not give them what you stole.
It's not theft. How is it theft? Their useless, incompetent agent died in the field, and his tools were put to use. We live in a demon-infested wasteland of a world. Don't expect me to not use the most powerful tools available to try and bring back our clan's honor.
Do you want all of us to get blown to bits? Damn your stubbornness, son. Do you know what you're putting me in? The position you're putting me in? Do you know what Nolmas Jairus will do if they find out that we've got property that Chiron Group is looking for?
Well, why aren't they backing us up, then? If they're willing to subjugate us to their frustration.
Because they're getting a cut of the profits. You need to wake up and realize there's a bigger world here than you just hunting down demons and stuff. There's our personal business, there's our own problems, and then there's the system we are a part of, and you are violating it. You are violating the rules that keep peace among the hunters. And if that goes down, monsters will be the least of our worries.
Fuck the prophets. What happened to the family? When did you get cowed by weaklings like this so easily?
I'm not cowed by nothing. I want to live to kill that demon tomorrow. And you know who's here right now? It ain't the demon son. It ain't the changelings. It's the humans. It's the humans with the guns and the C4 you put under the goddamn reef. He realizes he lost track. He lost control of himself and quiets before he admits that all of them are sitting over a literal explosive device.
How did he know?
Mason indicated before they walked in.
Okay, okay. Look.
They get this today, they'll come back for that thing tomorrow, because they know they can.
And that time we'll fight them, because we'll be in the rights, and the rest of the hunting community will back us up.
Will they?
They will.
Do they?
But they won't if the property in question was promised to them by their organization. They can't make a stink about an agreement they entered into. But if they didn't, if the property really is yours, like whatever it is you've got hidden, because I'm not going to say what it is right now, then we can defend it with our allies. This is not about hunting. This is about politics. And I had hoped it wouldn't be brought to your attention so soon, when I know you are just now coming into your own and setting up your team. But you're one cell going up against an entire infrastructure, an entire nation, a world of people more powerful and more connected. And we have to play the game.
I
don't mean to start a domestic, Rapitna says from the table with his hands steepled in front of him. Am I to believe that there's dissent among the ranks? Your father looks at you in the eye and then glances to Rapitna and says, not at all, sir. We are prepared to deal. Sorry, wrong voice. Not at all, sir. We are prepared to deal. He sits back at the table and looks expectantly at you, Mason.
All right.
Now.
So, you wanted a powerful magical artifact, and that would satiate your agreement.
I want to go home to my wife and family with my job intact. That's all this is about.
Oh, good. We should save your hide, then. Well, then, if you would, follow me. And I'm going to walk down to the dungeon.
So he walks past us.
Are you going to walk towards the vault?
Yeah.
JD's going to step in your way.
Bearing in mind that you all couldn't hear the conversation that just went down.
But obviously, what you're doing is totally...
He's walking in front of him and going, what's happening?
Either they get the gun, or we spring a trap on them.
A trap?
The thing.
You want to blow this whole place to hell?
I want to let it out of its box.
That is such a bad idea.
Hell fucking no.
I can't allow you to do that.
What do you think it's going to do when it's on our side of things?
All right, guys. Your call.
You want to let that thing out?
I'll do whatever you think's right, but this is my call. And I'm listening to you right now.
I'm not up for anything else letting that thing out.
Mason, from what I've seen, your gun, it can wear something supernatural down awful quickly. What we have can rewrite reality. Think about what is at risk there.
Fixing this. But I get it. Just no.
There is no fucking way you're letting that thing out. I don't give a shit. I'll stop you if I have to. You think?
All right. You guys are right. And I made my word, so I'll abide by it.
We don't need a second pissed Faye after us.
Cause you think?
No. You're right, and I will abide by it. Rapitna.
He stands in the doorway of the RV, but given that you just threatened to take his skin, he's going to send people in his stead.
Did I say that?
Yeah. You said you would preserve his skin, end quote.
I did.
Not a great way to convince a guy to follow you down a dark hallway.
Especially when the last, especially save when you're making reference to his burned skin.
I forgot about that. Save his skin.
That's a bit of a sore spot.
Yet. So he sends a very twitchy, low-level agent in his stead with a very heavy, very armored crate in his hands.
We'll need to make a road trip to acquire your device.
Will follow.
Fun.
Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell was created by Buckle Nagel and Stephen Pope and produced by Buckle Nagel, Stephen Pope, and Deanna Venable. Editing and mixing done by Stephen Pope and John Tompkins. The players are Deanna Venable as Darla, Garrett Schmickle's Abernathy, Stephen Pope as Wolf, Michael Morris as JD, John Tompkins as Mason, and Buckle Nagel running the game. Hunter the Vigil 2nd Edition is created and published by Onyx Path Publishing. Find us online at Uncanny Show on Twitter and at UncannyValleyShow.com. Make sure to check out other Save and Throw Show productions like Wild Cards or Experience Pointers wherever you get your podcast. And hey, have a good night.